Tonight's essay was written and presented by Gwyneth Lewis and produced in Larne by Johanna Smith. Well, tomorrow night on the essay, activist, speaker and poet Kevin Powell talks about Dylan Thomas's influence from an American perspective. And that's here on Radio 3 at 10:45 tomorrow night.
What, if anything, links early music to the music of our own times? One answer is the Hilliard Ensemble. This is the group who've sung plenty of Thomas Tallis, but sound just as at home with the music of Arvo Pärt or the saxophone of Jan Garbarek. This remarkable male voice quartet celebrate their 40th anniversary this year, and this Sunday, the Early Music Show joins the party. I'll be meeting the Hilliards, and they'll be choosing their favourite recordings spanning some seven centuries of repertoire. And I'll be asking them why the group's 40th year is also its last. Join the Hilliard Ensemble for this week's Early Music Show, Sunday afternoon at 2, here on BBC Radio 3.
It's 11 o'clock, just gone, and now on Radio 3, Late Junction with Max Reinhardt. Max Reinhardt and a guest tonight, Max.
Yes, we do have a guest. It's Australian virtuoso double bassist Adam Storey, who listeners may have heard in Baroque Mode last night. Some people actually thought he sounded like a cellist for some of the piece. He'll be joining me in a little while to talk about the terrible beauty of the double bass. Now, I'm not sure what I knew about Tearing Breaks before I heard this stripped-down, unplugged cover of a Rolling Stones song. Even now, I only know that people used to say that the Breaks were from the New Acoustic Movement when they emerged from Balham in the late 90s. Yes, it's true. And apparently they once said, the records of the early 70s, they're like extra limbs to us. Well, according to legend, this song originally emerged during the Sticky Fingers session when Keith was out of the room for a while, and I'd swear Sir Mick sung I Am Just Living to Be High and By Your Side on the original. Another song about trying to regain lost love. Hasta Wesalehu, or Unforgettable. Why haven't you come back when I miss you so? I can't wait to look into your eyes. That was Colonel Lema Demisu and his band, recorded in the late 60s when Addis Ababa swung. You can check the Colonel out on YouTube, and I think you'll agree they had the moves as well as the sound. Haile Selassie's notion that a people which was enjoying itself would not have a revolution on its mind may not have proved true for long, but some timeless music certainly emerged while he pursued it. If you like, you can digest that on Twitter. You can tweet us at BBC Radio 3, hashtag Late Junction, email late.junction@bbc.co.uk.
sun goes down.
Fondiki by the Jamisa Jallis, featuring Jali Jerif Conte on Kora and Suntu Kiyate on Balafon. That's Gambian backyard music from Jamisa in Birikama, one of the larger Gambian towns. And before them, the tremendously underrated, underplayed about group, which includes Alexis Taylor from Hot Chip, Pat Thomas, and other luminaries, and the tune was called Nightlife Sinking. More electronic music from London now. The Walls duo, Sam Willis and Alessio Natalizia, were going to be with us tonight. I heard Max Reinhardt say it himself last night. But a cancelled flight has left them stranded at an airport, so they can't be here, I'm afraid. But let's hear from their latest album all the same. It's called Soundhouses, and it's possibly the very zenith of their exploration of the Daphne Oram Sonic Archive, which actually began a year ago as a Late Junction session. This is Walls Oram with Reflections, Refractions and Multiplications. That was Saxophone Quadrat of Berlin performing Wonky by Hannah Dilks. Hannah is currently studying composition at Trinity Laban and was the winner of the BBC Young Composer of the Year competition in 2011. When I asked her what inspired her to write a piece for a sax quartet, she told me she did it for a bit. Long may she gamble in the world of music. Before that, some krautrock. Well, sort of krautrock. In 5/4, Ashkak by God Loves Fags. They got their name from a roadside billboard on the way to the recording studios in the Catskills in upstate New York. It stood just outside Baptist priest Mike's Church of Little Green Men. A true story. On the other hand, the Zionist Christian Church in South Africa await the second coming of Christ and host huge gatherings at which gospel group Itzkova Esinkini perform songs just like this one, Makolwa Vumani Sono, Believers, Confess Your Sins.
Oh, for Time. Thank you.
two pieces featuring piano there. The second movement, Adagio Molto, from Beethoven's Piano Sonata, Opus 53, Waldstein, performed by Jean-Eflamme Bavouzet, followed by Poland's Subito Piano Trio, with the second movement, Largo, from Sir Andrzej Panufnik's Piano Trio, originally written in 1934 and then revised 10 years later, after the manuscript had been destroyed in the Warsaw Uprising. It's from Dreamscape, a selection which includes songs and trios composed by Sir Andrzej with those by his daughter, Roxana Panufnik, and celebrates the centenary of her father. Hopefully we'll hear more celebrating that centenary across Radio 3 as the months go by this year. But right here at Lake Junction, we're going to hear very soon from Australian double bass maestro Adam Storey. But first, Los Angeles-based Brazilian Rodrigo Amarante with Nado Em Vau.
Passo entre eu e você, um silêncio, um grito, sim ou não. Eis então que o pedaço de mim que é só teu é intento sem tanto intenção. Quando eu vejo você
Em Vau by Rodrigo Amarante, and our studio manager Drew says it reminds me of the Father Ted theme, but actually some of the vocals lines reminded me of Blondie, Sunday Girl. But never mind all that, we've got a live guest here in the studio. Adam Storey is sitting here in the shadowy hollow. We're playing a track of Adam's every night on Lake Junction this week, and if you missed last night and want to get acquainted with Adam's sound, just before we say hello to him properly, have a listen to this.
Thank you.
That was the start of the last movement from Sonata und Decimo by Henry Eccles, with Adam Story on double bass and Hao Chejin at the harpsichord. We had a listener tweet in who thought, Adam, that you were playing a cello, so do you take that as a compliment?
I do, I suppose, yeah. I mean, it's good to make the nice resonant quality of the bass and have it a little bit lyrical as well, using the higher registers. So, yeah, I suppose very much so.
So would you say that you're looking for new ways of playing the double bass, trying to get new sounds out of it, maybe trying to turn it into more of a lead instrument?
I think I did when I was younger. I had a lot of aspirations to do that. And I think I've explored that, and I do explore that. But getting a little bit older and wiser, I'd sort of like to be as dexterous as possible to get my own ideas and also best emulate other players' ideas that I work with, so I can be loyal with them and their vision. And I think that's also what makes a great bass player. So, you know, in my own playing, yes, a bit of that, but overall not as much, I suppose, at the same time.
I have to say, when I first heard you play, and you were actually playing with a folk rock band, Freddie and the Noise, they're called these days, aren't they?
Yes.
But you actually sounded often like a whole string section, because, you know, you'd sound like a fiddle and you'd sound like a cello and you'd sound like a double bass. Very impressive.
Thank you.
One of the track that we're playing by you tonight, or that you've been associated with, is a piece from Arc Dreaming, which is very different to that Eccles piece.
Yes.
So what is Arc Dreaming?
Arc Dreaming is a collaborative project between two companies, primarily. The first one is Visions of a Nomad, or Culture Bank is probably the overall arm, which is a brilliant composer by the name of Michael Cumming, who I met many years ago and have worked with. He's spent a lot of time with Indigenous music, and he's written some sublime compositions which completely respect Aboriginal culture and dance rhythms. So from the ground up, it's basically complete Aboriginal music, but with this beautiful sort of twist to it. The other half is Nunakul Yagara, which is a dance troupe based in the Brisbane Gold Coast area and Stradbroke Island, which is in Queensland, Australia. And they're an incredibly professional dance troupe, and they tour the world with their shows and are sharing their culture with the world. Together, Arc Dreaming stands for Australian Reconciliation Company Dreaming, and it's basically a big collaborative expression of reconciliation within Australia. I would say it'd be the best thing, whilst bringing out something that I think Australia should be very proud of, and that's this ancient culture, which is, you know, at least 60,000 years old.
What's your connection with Aboriginal culture?
Well, mostly with this group is how I mostly come to know of it, and it's through being with Michael in this dance troupe. There is sort of connotations that my grandmother was taken from like her family and put in a nunnery on my father's side.
An Aboriginal family?
Yes. Well, half. So because of that, you know, I know nothing about it other than seeking it out. And, you know, I can't absolutely confirm that, because it is unknown. It's a time in Australian history where some don't know because they were just literally taken away. You know, I've always gravitated towards it, and so has my sister, who is a teacher on Palm Island, a remote island off the coast of Queensland. I suppose, yeah, there's a lot there, but I've always thought it was a beautiful culture, and I've always been very drawn to it. I'm privileged to have worked with Michael in this dance troupe.
On the other hand, you live in London now.
Yes.
So what was the magnet that drew you away from Aboriginal culture and Australia and Nick Cave? You know, how come we managed to get you away?
I've always loved London. I've come here a couple of times. And I suppose it just came to a point where I wanted to change, and I just felt it deep down. It's probably the best thing I can say. And I decided I'd just move and see what happened. I had a bunch of money saved, and I thought I'd make a change. I had some contacts with some colleagues in the area, and I thought, you know what, I'll move and see what happens. And that was about 3 years ago. And, you know, I think my life, in retrospect, in a lot of ways, my life really truly started when I came here. I've loved this city. And I think it's been very kind to me, and I just hope I can continue to be humble and hardworking and let good things come my way.
And even now, aren't you helping Walthamstow become the new Dalston?
I wouldn't use that expression, but I do very much love Walthamstow. I've always loved it since moving there, and I don't think I'd ever move if I had a say about it.
Back to music. I'll just away from Walthamstow for a moment. So you take on Baroque music, you take on Aboriginal music. Tomorrow night you're going to be playing a Tom Waits song for us. And I've also seen you playing folk rock band, like I say, and klezmer. And as I say, you've also worked with Nick Cave. Now, most musicians specialise, but you don't seem to want to. Dare I say, what's that all about?
It's more about the double bass. I had a really sort of strange upbringing as a musician. I studied classically from a very, very young age. But then I sort of put it down around 10 and picked it up again around 12 or 13, but on the bass guitar. And it wasn't until I was 17 that I picked up the double bass. So I went from classical to a lot of musical styles, funk, rock, jazz, everything really. You know, my father was a big folk music fan, so that was always around the house as well. So having the double bass as a mechanism, which I believe can authentically play almost every style of music, is fantastic. And that's something that really, really impassions me, is the fact that if I can work very hard and try and be as authentic as possible on all platforms, then that's something I can really delve into. And, I'm not too sure there are people, but not too many that have thought of it that way. And I really hope I can pull it off. You know, I try my best anyway.
Well, it seems to me from what I hear that you are pulling it off. So thanks very much for coming in tonight. And we're going to play this track now, Mary Gimpa, Aboriginal song. Tell us a bit about the Aboriginal song.
Mary Gimpa is a song by the Nunakul Kanjil group in the same kind of area in Queensland. It's about the soaring of the sea eagle. It's quite an important animal because once it comes over the bay, the tribe's people know that basically there's mullet coming up and they can eat. So they're quite grateful to the animal. So it's basically, there's a dance to this. The first half of the track is completely traditional. And it's, if you could see it, we're on radio, but there's a dance move where they're emulating the flight of the seagull. It's very graceful. And then Michael's put some sublime music to kind of emulate that over the top about halfway through the track. And it's basically in praise of this mighty animal, for want of a better word, I suppose. It's gorgeous. I love it.
American fire and ya, American fire when you are deep on my dark American fire and ya, American fire and ya, American fire when you are deep on my dark American fire and ya, American fire when you and you are my undercover.
American fire and you're not a man, American fire and you're not a man.
Sounds really great. You know, particularly all that bass sound. In fact, they kind of swamped you, really, didn't they?
Well, yeah, he's playing a pedal C didgeridoo. It's very, very low. It's very long. And the fact that he can pull out such a fast rhythm like that's very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Well, thanks so much. And thanks for actually entertaining us all week by those tracks that we're playing too. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I know that Walthamstow is calling you.
Always.
But before you go, here's a Bob Dylan song, because we're hearing a lot about Dylan Thomas this week on all the essays which come before Lake Junction. And here's a man who's named after him, Bob Dylan. The song's about George Jackson. It's a song sung from the heart, or to put it another way, he doesn't mince his words. Listeners, be warned.
I woke up this morning, there were tears in my bed. They killed a man I really loved, I shot him through the head. Lord, Lord, they cut George Jackson down. Lord, Lord, they laid him in the ground. Sent him off to prison for a $70 rivalry. They closed the door behind him and they threw away the key. Lord, Lord, they cut George Jackson down. Lord, Lord, they laid him in the ground. He wouldn't take shit from no one. He wouldn't bow down on deal. Authorities, they hated him because it was just too real. Lord, Lord, they cut George Jackson down. Lord, Lord, they laid him in the ground. They cursed him as they watched him from above. But they were frightened of his power. They were scared of his love. Lord, Lord, so they cut George Jackson down. Lord, Lord, they laid him in the ground. Prisoners, the rest of us are gods. Lord, Lord, they cut George Jackson down. Lord, Lord, they laid him in the ground.
George Jackson was convicted of armed robbery in 1961 for robbing $70 from a gas station at gunpoint. And at age 18, he was sentenced to serve 1 year to life in prison at the parole board's discretion. It turned out to be life, But in prison, George became politicised, radicalised and a voracious reader. His two books, Soledad Brother and Blood in My Eye, were motivational to African-Americans in and out of the slammer, as Pat Thomas explains in his book, and sleeve notes for the compilation Listen, Whitey, The Sounds of Black Power, 1967-74. Jackson's books became international bestsellers and he became an iconic hero. Dylan recorded and released that song as a single within weeks of the fatal shooting of George Jackson in the prison yard at San Quentin in the summer of 1971. Even though it's a much faster process now to get music released and distributed, I think we hear much less music that is created in reaction to political events. Different times, I guess. A couple of tunes to end the evening there. Brian Eno and Carl Hyde's Who Rings the Bell, followed by a tune there sung by Moira Smiley, that's the one. Moira Smiley and Voco, and actually it was a Woody Guthrie tune, Deporti, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos, which obviously should follow a Bob Dylan tune, why not? Moira Smiley and Voco, by the way, recently graced a Sunday evening programme, The Choir with a Live Session. And we liked it. Well, we're coming up to some Purcell from Oedipus, King of Thebes. It's going to be music for a while. It's La Pigiata, directed by Christine Pluhar. And that's actually what I'm going to be leaving you with tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night. Thanks for listening. Thanks very much to Adam for coming in. And thanks for tweeting. Good night.
Hello, I'm John Shea, and welcome again to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. I'm stretching the usual definition of Europe first this morning for a concert given in Wellington in March 2013. Toru Takemitsu, Arvo Pärt and Rodion Chedrine are all on the bill, and first is a world premiere. Kenneth Young has been associated with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra all his working life, as a principal tuba player and as a conductor. His piece is called simply Portrait, but is not of anyone in particular. I've merely enjoyed writing a work for an ensemble I admire, he says, adding that he also relished the colourful possibilities of using four percussionists and a harp alongside the string ensemble.